Thank you. Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to this call. Online we have Samad Hussain, Rafiq Damak, Jian Zhang, Edmond Cheng, and from staff, Christina Nordström and Bart Buswinkel.
Okay. Thank you, Christina, and welcome to the JIG call. And I think a couple of us might be at the IETF Social. I just realized we sort of conflicted with that event. But anyway, I guess we'll push forward. I wanted to talk about a few things today. First of all, to perhaps get a sense from Bart if we have any update on the work plan for IDM variants at the TLD. And second, I sent around a first draft of a final report for the single character IDM TLD issue, and would like to talk about that. And then finally, to spend a little bit of time to talk about some planning on the Cartagena meeting. So I guess Jane or others, did you want to add any items or think, in terms of the agenda?
No, actually, it sounds fine to me.
Okay, with that, then yes. We'll hear from Bart to see if we have any update
there. I can
there.
Be very brief. I haven't heard anything back yet. I've been trying, I think, four or five times over the last couple of weeks. No response. The only thing is what I've heard or what I've seen, and it's probably as much as the working group has seen, there was a discussion on an issue plan, but at the board meeting on the 28th of October, but no resolution or decision was made at the time. So my assumption, and this is only my private assumption, is people are still working on the plan. But unfortunately, I don't have any feedback.
I guess that I'm just curious how we could try to get more information, and also perhaps to ask around and say, you know, as much as we'd like to, I guess the whole point is not try to completely duplicate efforts, and also not try to create things that might be conflicting each other. So that's definitely the interest. But
that's the way I framed. So that was based on the call we had, I think, about 4 weeks ago as well. That's the way I framed the request for information. The only thing what I could do, maybe this would help, is send again this request to Kurt and Tina, and include both you and Jan as co-chairs of the working group, and see if that might help.
Okay, that I think that would be useful, and we'll try to.
Yeah, then you note if there is any response, yes or no.
Okay
cool. And I guess at the same time, I'd like to sort of ask those who are on the call whether, you know, you feel that we should continue to forge ahead, because right now we're left hanging after moving the discussion forward a little bit, and the idea is to try to get an initial report out. It really just talks about the policy aspects. We're not at this point making policy recommendations. This is for the IDN variants, IDN TLD variants issue. So I just want to get a sense, at least around the call today, whether people feel that we should continue going forward if we still don't hear from the staff work plan. I guess Rafiq, Amana Jane, your thoughts on that.
Edmund, may I add a suggestion to this?
Yeah.
If you look at, say, the timing right now, we a month away of Cartagena, say, looking at the final report for the, say, single character variant, is that the working group focuses on this one and notes that, say, on variant management, the group is still waiting for some feedback on what the plan is about, and use the Cartagena meeting to focus on the variant management, because as far as I know, Tina will be there and Kurt will be there as well, and we could invite them for the working group session on Thursday morning.
Okay, I guess that seems to be reasonable. And if we can get this document out the door before Cartagena, we're using this meeting and next meeting, and try to use the Cartagena meeting as to really try to discuss in depth the IDN TLD variant issue. That seems to be a reasonable approach.
Hey, this is Ahmad. I have a couple of comments. First of all, I think we are quite advanced as far as our single character ID and TLDs is concerned, so we should definitely first focus on trying to close that on our end. As far as the variant discussion is concerned, I'd like to sort of list, or at least have a list in front of me, on who else, which other groups or individuals are focusing on this area, and it would also be interesting to find out how they are mutually perhaps collaborating with each other, and how we can actually join into that collaboration if we are going to talk about that aspect as well.
You mean for the IDN variant issue?
Yes.
Or okay. Sure, we can, you know, one of the things, actually, in terms of the agenda, if people feel okay, why don't we, because we're talking about Cartagena now, why don't we jump to that and get a sense of what sort of activities we're planning for Cartagena first, and I guess that sort of tries to answer your question somewhat as well, in terms of how we try to reach out more to the community to connect and I guess in some way synchronize with the efforts on especially on the IDN TLD variant issue. Bart or Christina, I think we are planning the Thursday morning as the working group meeting. And then we also are planning for a public session for Monday afternoon.
Yes, both meetings, as far as I know, have been confirmed. Say, I know the meeting, the public meeting on Monday afternoon is confirmed, and the Thursday morning meeting is. I haven't seen the latest schedule yet, but I think it's. Very likely.
Yes, they are both confirmed, I think. And the Monday afternoon is from 5 to 6, and Thursday is from 8 to 9 in the morning.
Hello, this is Olaf. Sorry for late arrival.
Hi, Olaf.
So the Monday, actually the Monday session is going to be a public, public session, and the Thursday morning is going to be the working group only, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. So the Monday session is more like a reporting, the result of our working group's work, that kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Right, and I think we can also use that opportunity to, as someone suggested, to try to reach out and let more people know about the work that we're working on, and to really you know, solicit some cooperation where appropriate. I think that's definitely one area to one opportunity to reach out. I understand that it's right after the sort of more general IDN session. Is that so?
That was the intention.
The Monday one, yes.
Yeah, the Monday afternoon. In, say when we started to organize it, the intention was to have a say full blown Monday afternoon with IDNs. Unfortunately, the CCNSO has another major topic to discuss, that is the delegation, redelegations of CCTLDs in general. And they need to discuss the report of that working group before they meet the GAC. And they meet the GAC, the CCNSO meets the GAC on Tuesday afternoon. So they had to swap the IDN session with the delegation, redelegation session. And Tuesday afternoon will be, I know, my understanding is sometimes during the meeting, I'm not sure which date, there will also be a review of the fast track process, and this includes, I think, if you look at the questions, one of the topics for discussion is variants or synchronized TLDs and how to deal with it or how it
my was understanding.
Dealt with.
So, Bart, my understanding is that's going to be on Tuesday afternoon, right?
That is, but that's specifically focused for the CCNSO.
Okay.
There will also be a more general public discussion, but, say, as this is planned for Monday afternoon and the CCNSO has its own sessions on Monday, including Tech Day and the delegation, and to have it more focused for the CCNSO and the CCTLD community at large, it was included in the schedule for the general CCNSO meeting.
Okay, so one is the Monday afternoon session. I was curious whether our session would be right after the general IDN session. That's the public session. And I guess you were talking about the... okay. And then,
Martin
was talking about the
CCNSO
session.
Yeah, my understanding is, Edmund, my understanding is, you know, the general IDN session is going to be on Tuesday afternoon, but our session is going to be on Monday afternoon.
No, but there is a general one as well. Let me check.
Okay.
Are we getting confused? See if there is a preliminary.
Because actually, I checked last week. I think there is an IDN session on Tuesday afternoon in CCSO meeting.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, I sent you an email, said, you know, could we fit in that session? Because I thought it's going to be good, because we'll also talk about IDN.
Yes.
And then you answered me, said, you replied to me, said it's a very full session, you know, because they want to review the fast track. So.
But I think Edmund is referring to a general public session on IDNs.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
And what we are talking about is specifically CCNSO session. And
So two questions.
So that's, and we talk, see if I can find, if there is a tentative schedule, Monday. No, there is not really. Let me get back to the working group on this one. As soon as I know.
Okay. I guess the reason why I think, you know, if it is, then I think it works well. We'll try to keep the people in the room and follow on with our discussion. But I guess coming back to Samad's question, besides this, and perhaps Jane and I, myself, and if you can help as well, reach out to several of the groups that we know are working on this. What else do you think we should do on that front?
May I suggest, say, let me first check the schedule as a starting point, and then take it offline with you and Jan, how we can best seek people who want to participate and attend the sessions.
Sure. I just want to circle back to Samad and to see if this answers his question and seems like an approach that works.
And this goes back to the question, maybe that's something we can find out as well for this working group, going back to the question about which groups are still working on variant management, because it's getting more confusing every day.
Yes, that was my initial comment as well, that so there is probably going to be some discussion on it for the IDN CCPDP. There is probably, obviously, there's discussion in GNSO. We are discussing it as well. Are there any other groups who are discussing it? So it's probably a good idea to just have at least a list of groups or organizations who are involved in formally discussing this. Maybe through email or something.
It's just an email to the list saying these groups are currently working on variant management.
Okay.
I'll look into that.
Thanks, Bart. With that, I see Avery also joined the call, is it?
Yep.
Hi, Avery. I thought you were at IETF and at the social.
No, I'm unfortunately not funded to the IETF this time, so I'm in Rhode Island.
Oh, okay. So, good to have you on. So, I guess that's the generally the in terms of the things to be discussed. I guess for Monday afternoon, it's much more of a report. It's a public session. We'll talk about the things that we've done on single character IDN TLDs, and as well as on IDN variants. And on the Thursday morning work group meeting, as discussed a little bit earlier, we'll spend, I guess, most of the time talking about IDN TLD variants, especially with Tina and perhaps Kurt also there. So, with that, I move to...
Do we know that Tina and Kurt are available for this?
I'll check.
Speaking, but I don't. Yeah. Because usually it's hard to get them.
To my knowledge, Tina will be in Cartagena.
We will definitely invite them, and I think the time slot, we're trying to have it so that Tina can join, but we'll specifically try to invite them to come. Okay, so with that, I wanted to move to the next item, which was I sent around, again, I apologize for sending around documents so late, but the idea is to hope to walk through it a little bit today, and we can continue the discussion on the mailing list as well as in our next meeting. But I did send out a first draft of a final report on single character IDN TLDs, this issue. I think I was trying to summarize it into a few policy recommendations on the subject, and trying to respond to the comments. There was the report prepared by Bart earlier on, but there were a few items that we said we would further consider and act on it. So I tried to see if it might work well to make actual suggestions to the applicant guidebook and to suggest edits and such that it could be more easily implemented and incorporated. So in terms of the structure of the of the final report, the idea is the introduction, and I sort of split it up into five sections. The first one being introduction and background, that would pretty much be the similar materials from the initial report, just what was discussed before on the subject. And then the second section being the actual policy implementation recommendations, and sort of summarized in 4 points. And the third section being suggested edits, as I mentioned, specific edits to the applicant guidebook, where I think this would be inserted into. And then the fourth session would be basically just a repeat of the initial report, just to archive it back in, so that those are the policy aspects that we have considered. And then the fifth area being the summary of the public comments received from the initial report, and also some further response to those comments. So that's sort of the general structure. Any comments on the general structure? And then I guess the idea is to go session by section and to go through the document. But conceptually, structurally, does anyone have any thoughts, concerns, comments?
Maybe before going into the there is more a process question, I would say. According to, say, as my understanding of the charter is, the working group will make recommendations to the council.
Mm-hmm.
So this means it needs to be adopted according to its own processes to the council, and I think, I don't know whether you want to include that, so this is a recommendation of the working group to the to the CC&SO and G&SO council.
Right. Actually, speaking with you're quite right. I completely and it's really my fault. I completely forgot about the CC&SO side of implementation,
which I understand.
So, I think that definitely needs to be added in as the two sections where there were recommendations. We should add a subsection on CC&SO and subsection.
Yeah, but that's very clear. From no, but I think that the procedural bit needs to be included.
Procedurally,
well.
Yes. Right, and we should include it in the right up front, and
yeah,
in saying that this is intended to be, if this goes through the public comment period and things are okay, we'll finalize it, and we would be, process-wise, we would be sending it to the two councils respectively, and then it's really up to the council to then do whatever they want with it.
Yeah. That was my concern, and say, flowing from that before going into, do you have an, I assume you want to have it published as soon as possible, so that means probably late next week, or even depending on the comments we receive from the working group members, early next week.
In terms of time frame, I guess that might be a little bit too aggressive. I was thinking more that it would be published just right before the Cartagena meeting. My feeling is that we would need one more meeting to finalize it, which would be 2 weeks from now. So I guess my hope is that we would be able to have the meeting 2 weeks from now, and then a few more days to finalize everything and be posted at the end of that week.
Yeah, so that means posting around the 25th or the 26th. So that's a couple of days before the meeting in Cartagena.
Right. That's that would be my that would be the idea.
Yeah. And a second question is how long do they, and that means so probably you want to keep the public comment period open until, I would say, late December, so just before Christmas.
Yeah, I think so. I guess depending on how, I'd like to set something for just before Christmas. However, I think at the when we get into Cartagena, we might get a better sense of whether we need to extend it.
Yeah, but the earliest is mid-December.
Right.
Yeah.
So actually, how long do we need for public comments?
Depends on it. I think the practice is at least 21 days.
Okay.
At least 3 weeks. Depends on,
okay.
on the... That's very much depends very much on say the topic itself and yeah, what you want. Say with the initial report, we had a very very long public comment period due to the summer holidays and everything else. So. Moving forward, that means, so I don't know when the GNSO Council meets after the Cartagena meeting. I assume sometime early January.
I don't have a calendar, GNSO calendar here, but I would... I don't know. There might actually be one before the end of the year. This is every 3 weeks.
Yeah, but that's gonna be very hard. Depending on say if you want to have a final recommendation.
Oh no, I don't think that would. I don't think that would happen. It would take probably at least into January.
Yeah.
In terms of the time frame. To January for it to reach the councils.
Yeah. Okay. No. So probably we include that in the document as well. So then you got the process laid out and everybody is aware of what is happening.
Good idea.
That's why I asked. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So. I guess with that, we can move into sort of the meat of the document, which are the core recommendations. I tried to summarize everything into 4 points. I was reviewing the policy aspects and the initial. Report and stuff, a lot of which we really just point back to other aspects of the GTLD and CCTLD processes. In terms of the four areas that I structured around, I apologize. I was wildly biased on the GNSO side. we'll have to create the CCNSO side as well. But let's talk about the GNSO side and see if we generally what is required first. But in terms of the four areas, I summarized into the was A, B, C, D. A was just to reiterate the go back to the GNSO policy recommendation in the final report for the new GTLD, where it does say that single character IDN TLDs should be implemented, but could be allowed. But to reiterate that and to assert that it should be implemented. And then B is the definition of a single character. I think that has often come up as a question. It seems like this is a useful anchor for talking about this. And then C is a slight adjustment from the initial report, actually. So I think, you know, we probably should talk about this. It's a slight adjustment based on some of the response that we've gotten. And in the original GNSO policy recommendation, we said that the single character IDNTLDs should be analyzed on a case-by-case, but no further description. What we're suggesting here is that actually following somewhat the idea of what was being implemented for two-character IDNTLDs, to sort of split it up a little bit and say for non-alphabetic script single-character IDNs, they would be more generally acceptable. And then for alphabetic script ones, which seems to have much more confusion possibilities with like ASCII and Latin strings. So to sort of split it up into the two writing systems of the world and make that as a policy recommendation. And then for D, to really just to restate a lot of the findings from the initial report that many of the restrictions, including like geographic names, similarity, conflict resolutions, and all those kind of things, should we could depend on the existing processes. So those were the four items in terms of actual policy recommendation that I thought would be summarized from all the stuff that we talked about. Any?
Edmund, while you're talking about it, just a recap of the previous point you made. There is the first and so far only GNSO Council meeting that's announced. It's for 6th of January next year.
Okay.
No, going back, that's probably too early for the recommendations.
Right. So back to the four points, Reese, Samad, Rafiq, Jane. I don't know whether you've had the chance to take a look at the document, but in terms of my description, or if you have the chance to look at it.
Right. This is Samad. I have a couple of comments. First of all, going back to your previous point on the structure of the document, let me make a general comment, and then I'll come back to these four points.
Sure.
It's probably another way of structuring this would be to, after giving the background, then go into the discussion of how the decisions are being made and what are the discussion points, and then eventually going into the conclusions based on the discussion points, and then after the decisions, then making the recommendations. So in that context, I would probably suggest reconsidering structuring it in such a way that you have section one where it is, and then perhaps bringing in section five and any other discussion which we want to document in this report, because that's still discussion. And then based on that discussion, follow that with the section, let's see, I think 2 and 4, and then finally section 3, and then a similar section added for maybe some recommendations for the IDN CCPDB process as well, in case there are certain things we need to say about that process. Restructuring it in a way that we show have the background first, then the discussion, and then the decisions. At this point, the structure goes into decisions first and then maybe the discussion afterwards. So that's one way of looking, you know, that's another way of looking at it. So that's
a comment on the structure. That's a good suggestion. I think I went with it in sort of the concept of having what was discussed as more like an appendix than anything. But I think what you said might make better sense to lay out the whole discussion. But I think session 4 is the bulk of the discussion that we had for the initial report. So perhaps it would be 1, 4, 5, 5 being the response to the public comments. So 1, 4, 5, 2, 3, and then add IDN CC theory stuff. So I think that probably makes better sense.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Okay, and I have one more comment. So this now going to the first section, which you were asking about. So this is the comment I want to, or the point I want to raise is with respect to point C, which is, this is, I'm a little uncomfortable with making a script distinction into two groups, the alphabetic scripts and the non-alphabetic scripts. And the reason I'm uncomfortable with that is because these are really... the scripts cannot be divided into these two categories. There are actually more than two categories of scripts. So there are obviously on one end you have the CJK kind of scripts which are totally ideographic, and on the other you have very purely alphabetic scripts. You also have in the middle with the syllabic, and there are many scripts. If you distinguish it in two categories, it becomes linguistically perhaps incorrect. So that's one comment on that. And the second is that having it in two categories, I am not sure what particular advantage we get in our discussion. Because if we are saying that we are going to look at the confusability of what is being proposed to against what is already there, two character CCTLDs, two character CCTLDs in ASCII, or for that matter, any other ASCII or non-ASCII strings which are already approved. So, also sort of referring to point D as well. Then why do we need to make a distinction between alphabetic and non-alphabetic scripts? It's the same thing. You apply for a single IDN CCTLD, you see whether it's confusable with something which already exists, or whether it, in case of two-character ASCII, whether it is confusable with something which even doesn't exist, and then move on. So again, summarizing, the distinction between alphabetic and all the alphabetic scripts is probably not necessary, I think.
Okay, so the previous discussion we had was actually a lot based on the what was done for two-character IDN PLDs. If you look at the implementation for the at least for the GTLD side, two-character IDN PLD approach is such that because single character ASCII and two character ASCII are pretty much reserved. The implementation for two character IDN GTLDs was that basically not to say that it's disallowed, but that if it is in Latin, Greek, or Cyrillic, then it would be sort of considered by default to be potentially confusable, and then I guess the applicant will have to provide some additional justification and go through some extended evaluation for the process. So the idea was to extend the same structure for single character IDN TLDs. I guess we could potentially just adopt exactly the same line. I was sort of suggesting a alphabetic, non-alphabetic, because there are you mentioned the phonetic sort of scripts as well. I was doing, of course, I'm personally not a linguist, but was doing some research myself and asking people about it. This, and you know, it depends on where you stand in this linguistic debate. But overall, I guess the concept was to try to do it so that it's alphabetic and non-alphabetic. But if you feel that that's probably not a good line to draw, then perhaps we could move it back to what what the two character one had. Would that?
Okay. So the reason I'm saying alphabetic and non-alphabetic is not a good distinction is not motivated only by linguistics. So, you know, I'm okay with that kind of argument if it gives us something concrete in terms of implementation. But I don't see what we are getting specifically out from this reasoning as far as implementation or these kind of decisions are concerned.
Okay.
So that,
So I guess there's one. Sorry, please go ahead first.
I don't see the motivation of this distinction between alphabetic and non-alphabetic, and that's why I'm raising it, because that motivation is not coming out clearly in terms of how it's going to impact the implementation of IDNs. So that line, you know, one could divide along those lines if there was some concrete implications of that division. Yes, I would probably agree with your comment that one could devise a generic way of dealing with it, as we've done for, so both can be merged, and one can always say that there is we have to deal with the variant issue generally, and then obviously confusability with the single and two-character ASCII TLDs, and those are really the two conditions we need to look at, irrespective of which script we are talking about, right?
Right. I'll let me try to explain sort of background. It's my fault. I sort of jumped ahead myself, but there was I really should bring this conversation to the mailing list as well. Right after the call, shortly after, I'll try to send a correspondence that I have had the chance to have with a number of technical people talking about this issue. And one of the things, the reason why I sort of came around suggesting this was because there was this continued concern about a single character sort of TLD being a single stroke, a single keystroke for a keyboard. And therein lies why the suggestion for alphabetic script versus non-alphabetic, because non-alphabetic scripts, in most cases, to enter one character, it would require more than one keystroke. And there's always the argument where a single keystroke causing an error that that would end up to going to a different domain, and that was an argument, and that was the motivation behind alphabetic scripts and non alphabetic scripts. Whether we want to take it is completely separate, but I actually should apologize for not bringing this into discussion before making this suggestion. But that being said, so that was the original motivation.
Okay, can I add an argument, another argument then? What you're then trying to distinguish is one versus more than one keystrokes, but that really depends on the input method. So you can actually have perhaps in even CJK kind of context a single keystroke. Depends on really your input method. And even for ASCII, you can have multiple keystrokes. So, for example, if you're using your mobile phone, you'd actually have to press a key three times to press a C.
Right. No, that's exactly the same argument I gave in that correspondence as well. And I think that's why in terms of describing it, it was that it's not disallowed. So alphabetic scripts are not disallowed, but there are a few more tests such that it's not creating, I guess, security harm to the internet. That seems to be a recurring theme in terms of the worry for single character. Single character alphabetic script TLDs, because from all the discussions I've had the chance to have with technical experts on this issue, people here at the ITF and stuff, that is a recurrent item that's brought up. But again, I think, you know, we did put out the public comments, and unfortunately, they didn't, you know, respond specifically on this issue. And I think our job here really is to, you know, see where we feel most comfortable in making the recommendation, and. So, but that's sort of the original genesis of why alphabetic and not alphabetic. But I'm interested to know though, Samad, whether you feel you did mention that, you know, the keystroke issue is not just, you know, it doesn't really hold, but also I just want to get a sense in terms of if we don't try to talk about non-alphabetic versus alphabetic, would you be comfortable adopting sort of what this two-character IDN DLD section is doing, where it sort of identifies Latin, Greek, and Cyrillic as, again, it's not that it's disallowed. It's just that there are additional tests for it to make sure before it is allowed. So, Am I still on?
Yeah.
So perhaps it seems we may have to take this really to the analyst, because I think I should bring in some of the arguments brought around by the technical people, and to really bring that into the discussion before we move forward on this. So I, as I mentioned right up front as well, I think C is definitely an important part of the recommendations, and to also make it implementable for staff in some ways as well. But I think we've exhausted what we can talk about live on this issue at this meeting. So, unless I wonder if there are any other comments around the four items that were identified in terms of actual policy recommendation. And whether we missed anything that needs to be.
It's Olof here. Just a quick comment, Edmund, about recommendation D. I think that's superfluous, because it goes without saying that unless otherwise stated here, well, all other requirements and restrictions and so on would apply.
It does. The only reason why I sort of kept it in is that almost all of the comments received was pointing, you know, one or the other way in those type of issues, and therefore I think.
Okay. Yeah, well, for clarification, the problem is when we start making a list that it can be seen as exhaustive. So I think you need to make it sort of a very general. All other restrictions, qualifications, and so on would be applicable or something, and including but not limited. Okay, maybe you got a point. It was just trying to save ink, I believe.
No, when I was writing it, I agree with you. I picked a few examples specifically because they were raised in the public comment period.
Right.
But I guess others, I wonder if others have any thoughts on whether...
This is becomes two different things. Whether you talk about G or CC TLD strings again. But that's...
Right, right.
Yeah, that's all.
Very true.
Okay. Thanks.
What do others think? I mean, should we reiterate this, given that, most of the comments are on these type of issues, or you think, it's really redundant and better to not have it?
This is Samad. So I think there are three kinds of issues here which should perhaps be distinguished from each other and clearly separated out. One is the issue, one is a linguistic issue. One is a security and stability issue, the variant and confusability and those kind of things. And the third is actually these other meta-level issues, which include geographical names and IP. So currently, they're all mixed in. And I think these are three different levels of issues, perhaps going to be handled by three different committees. And they should be sort of separated out into these three buckets or categories.
So to view it as sort of three areas, one is linguistic. Well, the second one is security and stability, and third is the geographical names, the reserve names part of things.
IP and all those other things, yeah. And by the way, fast track process, for example, already separates these into these categories. So there's a separate process when you apply for ID and CCTLD in Fast Track right now. It goes through a separate process for linguistic issues. It goes through a separate process for security and stability issues. And then obviously there is the IP kind of things, but those things perhaps do not apply for ID and CCTLDs.
So allow me to try to understand. We're at the top of the hour, actually, so I'll try to make this observation and try to wrap up. But so you're suggesting that in terms of the recommendations, we would split it up into these three areas to suggest sort of things, or you're suggesting that in one particular recommendation we would suggest to split up into these three areas where perhaps evaluation panels would be taking care of each.
Yes, I would imagine that. So point C says that the request will be analyzed, so it is actually talking about the process.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're analyzing something, you're actually analyzing it from three different perspectives. That's what I'm saying. You're not just analyzing it from a single perspective.
Mm, okay. That's a good point. In fact, with that, I think we're close to the end of this meeting. But can I ask Bart to see if you can find out? Actually, I was trying to figure out. For two-character IDN-TLDs, there was this mention about if it's Latin, Greek, or Cyrillic, then it's in, you know, special conditions need to be met. And then there were some comparison mechanisms further on, but nothing specific in terms of the actual evaluation, what would be allowed, what would not be allowed is available. I was wondering, Bart, would you be able to figure out for us what the conditions are and what the process would be for two-character IDN-TLDs, and perhaps that could help enlighten our discussion here too.
Edmund, are you referring to specifically to two-character IDN-GTLDs?
Yes. Two-character GTLDs. The CCTLDs, that's not an issue.
No. Okay. I will sort out with Olof who's going to do it. I know who's going to do it.
Okay. That would be really useful. Can't seem to find it except in section 2.2.1.3.2, part 3.2.
Yeah.
That's very long. That's the only way... place where I can find a description about it, but then it doesn't go further to describe how if something needs further sort of evaluation, a special case consideration, what would be done. So getting a sense of that would help us here to try to make some recommendations on what to do if we, you know, try to isolate certain cases where it would need further evaluation, what that might look like.
Okay,
cool. So, again, I think we're over the hour now, but I think we have good progress. I'll bring that alphabetic, non-alphabetic discussion to the list shortly, and we can further discuss it for the next couple of weeks until our next meeting, which will be 2 weeks from now. We'll also bring in the CCNSO part. Again, I apologize deeply not for really slipping on that. But I wonder if anyone have any thoughts, comments before we close. If not, thank you everyone for your time, and we'll continue discussion on the mailing list, and we'll talk again in 2 weeks.
Okay. Thank you, Edmund. Bye-bye.
Thank you.